Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there, everybody. Good morning to you. Happy Tuesday. Jacob Albrock here alongside Jackson Schneider in for TJ today. More on that in just a second. Max Powers in. He's got your KFH hotline at 869-1240. We've got you on video, of course, on 12 News Plus. Appreciate you being there. Also on Facebook, YouTube, and X, where you can leave your video comments. You can also listen to the show on the Odyssey app and leave us voice messages there. We've got a lot to get to today. Wyatt Thompson will be in a few minutes, voice of the K-State Wildcats, to talk all things K-State. We'll get to a couple of big and emotional football topics. And then, of course, the basketball team off to a nice start to start the year. We'll talk to Wyatt about all of those things. We've got some contests for you today. Your chance to win some great prizes. We have Monday Night Football to review. We've got a Chiefs update after the bye week for the first time from Andy Reid to get you through. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring a hot link sandwich, split seared and served in a split top bun with chips and a drink for only $9, perfect for lunch. Hot link sandwich, now available at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. Jackson, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We're doing good here. The Sports Daily debut. So this is first day of third grade. Stand up and tell everybody in class a little something about you.
All right. I'm going to start with the obvious. I am clearly not as good looking as TJ, but I will do my best. You know,
it's debatable.
I come from being able to say in radio that I have a face for radio. Nobody had to see me. But now I come up here to the big leagues, and I got to show my ugly mug all over the place. So I'm going to try to do my best not to break Max's camera in here. But happy to be here and fill in just even for a day or so and have some fun. But I may sound familiar to some people here in Wichita. I do the broadcast for Newman University and their athletics and all that fun stuff as their basketball season's getting ready to start this weekend. So that's just a little fun fact about me, I guess.
The voice of the Newman Jets, Jackson Schneider, world famous. Glad to be here with you. So that's fun. I'm a D2 guy, went to a D2 school.
I used to do a little of that myself. I tell everybody all the time, it's the most fun thing I've ever done professionally is just calling games, man. So I'm jealous. We're glad to have you in here. Jackson will hop in from time to time with us now on Sports Daily as TJ and I need a minute or whatever. I know TJ especially is it's travel season with all the teams are chasing for KWCH. So we're glad to have you in. Monday Night Football last night, the Eagles take down the Packers 10-7. I was really close to saying I've had enough and figuring out a different way to watch my TV so I could get some of these games back. And boy, I'm glad I didn't cave for that turd. 10-7, the Eagles take it. Did you watch it? Can you watch it? Can anybody watch it out there? I mean, I had out my old antenna and tried to watch through the scramble.
See, that's how I watch is I have the little like $30 wall antenna mount that you can get at Walmart. And so you get all the major networks. So any major game is going to be on one of those big four, you know, and I watch it that way. But I've been one of the lucky ones not affected by this whole debacle with YouTube TV and ESPN because I'm a Hulu guy. But maybe I'm just the weirdo that picked the wrong streaming service, but I think it's working out for now. I'll take it.
No, you're
it.
Good. I would, that's what I was going to switch it, but that like my favorite program on television is Red Zone on a Sunday. And you got to have YouTube. It's the only reason I have YouTube TV, to be perfectly honest with you. And I'm like, well, if I switch and then they're ultimately going to get this figured out and then I won't have Red Zone. So now I'm just trying to like play the middle ground. And I haven't gone and looked ahead to like all the K-State, KU, Wichita State basketball games, but it is it's the time of year where a lot of those are going to end up on ESPN Plus, which I do have. Of course, ESPN Plus is not the same as ESPN whatever that you have to, you know, it's all different.
We're kind of circling back to cable, right? Like you've got all these different packages you can pay for, but you can't just get the ones that you need. It's kind of
funny. That's why cable
was
expensive for all those years because they have to pay to distribute all this programming. I think the problem for most people now is like nobody watches shows on cable really anymore. You watch your, you know, the Netflix stuff usually for shows, and then you have something like YouTube TV, so you can get local channels, and so you can watch sports. And so we're in this stalemate, and I don't know if it's going to end. I wrongly, incorrectly predicted it would be done before the first weekend of college football. We've now had two Monday Night Footballs without it, so clearly the heels are dug in there. 10-7, Eagles take it. It was just a it wasn't like there was bad weather. It wasn't anything else. You get, you know, a little over 500 total yards of offense in this one. It was just like it was boring. There weren't really turnovers. There was the one meaningful, of course, fumble at the end of the game, but quarterbacks weren't throwing interceptions. It just took offense back a few years. And I hate that kind of football. It was boring. It was a boring game. I don't know what else to say. It was a really boring football game.
And you mentioned the weather. Like the weather was fine, but both teams kind of played like it was a blizzard or something. So I don't really know. Like they were running the ball a ton. We barely saw, you know, the passing attack really take over for the Eagles until the end. They got that long touchdown to Devontae Smith. But I mean, it was just kind of a rock fight without any fun. There wasn't anything fun really for the most part in that game until the little bit of drama that you had there at the end. But I was sitting there watching it thinking, hey, I get to fill in on a sports talk show tomorrow. It's going to be so exciting. And then I'm midway through the third quarter and I'm like, what am I going to talk about? Like there's nothing that's happening here.
Thank goodness Nick Sirianni was a bonehead in the fourth quarter and went for it. So we can talk about that because that was, you know, I'm all for being risky as a coach. That was just dumb. Like there was no reason to do that. Kick the field goal or punt. Was it fourth and six? In a situation like it's funny too because Sirianni takes so much heat from people. You can't be bad at your job and go to two Super Bowls, win one of them, and like he's not bad at his job. He's good at what he does. That was bad call. And those are the kinds of things that drive people nuts with him. Like that doesn't even make any sense. You don't have that kind of quarterback. And then you choose to throw down to AJ Brown, who's in the middle of a very weird year anyway, who had, you know, two catches on the game for 13 yards. Like that whole thing was just bizarre.
I'm not a big Nick Sirianni fan in general, just like his antics and kind of his demeanor kind of rubbed me the wrong way on occasion. So anytime I get a chance to kind of pick him apart, I'm going to take that chance. And I completely agree with you. I mean, to first of all, play a game like that where nothing happens and you aren't able to find any footing offensively, I would never, I guess, have the confidence that he had, I guess, which is a good thing. He's got confidence in his offense, but I would never have made the decision to go for that because you fail and then you give the Packers at least a chance at a long field goal. And I know it didn't really go well, but why would you even play with that fire? We've seen kickers make 70-yarders this season.
They won the game. There's never been a team full of more drama and questionable decisions that has the level of success that the Eagles have had over the last few years. We'll talk about the Eagles. Are they back, by the way? That's it's an interesting question because, you know, we'd like to talk contenders for the Chiefs. So we'll dig more into it. But when we come back, Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats, is going to join the show. We'll talk a little K-State hoops. We'll talk a little K-State football, including the Dylan Edwards decision. Don't go away.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Commercials are over.
Dude, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And we welcome you back in with the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. We are in the middle of, well, everything here, Wyatt. We've got K-State football in full swing. We have K-State men's basketball, women's basketball in full swing. A lot to get to, but of course, I think most of the headlines for the topics around campus there surround Dylan Edwards, as he is not going to return this year or ever to K-State. And a lot of the fans' big fears that they, you know, kind of talked about and bandied about for a long time have come true. And it's a red shirt and a transfer, the fourth time for the young star running back. And that was a brief and uneventful year for a guy that, you know, K-State had a lot put into, we'll say.
Yeah, very well said. Good to be on with you guys again. I think frustrating times for all Wildcats, to be honest with this one, because as you talked about, you know, the excitement level going into the year because of Avery Johnson, because of Dylan Edwards, Jace Brown, those types of guys, I think the expectations were very, very high and rightfully so. And the way it started with Dylan, you know, injured early in the game in Ireland against Iowa State, it just never happened and materialized. And he was frustrated by it. I think the coaches, players, everybody was frustrated by it. And I don't know that we necessarily have to rehash everything that's gone on in his life in the last couple of two or three years. It's been, you know, sometimes pretty interesting. I think you could tell yesterday at the press conference with Coach Klieman that he was going to make a very short statement, which he did, and that was it. He didn't want to talk about it at all. I know he's frustrated by it, but, you know, what do you do moving forward? And, you know, I think for some of the players, I'm not going to kid you, I think there's some relief that the drama is over and now you can move on and let's work with the guys that are here.
Hey, Wyatt, first of all, it's good to see you, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Imagine my surprise. I'm filling in and they say, guess who we're talking to this morning, but the voice of the Cats. But on that, you know, unfortunate news with Dylan entering the portal, but unfortunately for K-State, that wasn't the only bit of bad news that they got yesterday. Austin Romaine announced out for the rest of the season with an injury. That's a tough blow right there. I mean, your main leader on defense, you know, I would say emotionally and production wise, and you've got to find a way to rally this defense together and get two wins still with three games to go. How are the Cats going to bounce back from that tough loss?
Well, it's difficult mentally because, as you said, you know, statistically, emotionally, physically, he's one of the best football players Kansas State has. I think it's been a frustrating year for him too, playing with that thing. And by thing, I mean that concoction on his arm, on his hand. It's difficult to play the game regardless, and it's difficult to play the game healthy. And he hasn't been either. And I know he's been frustrated by it. There's speculation, and I get it, that he wants to get this fixed, not have any lingering effects with it long term, which has also led to, okay, what's his future look like at K-State? Some wonder whether he may be doing this because of the potential of a pro career. I think that is, you know, frankly, on the table. I'm not saying he's not coming back. That's not what I mean. But I do think he thinks about those types of things because he's a really talented kid. A tough blow, but you know what? It's cliche, but you got to move on and you got to, you know, next man up mentality kind of thing, because I think it's intriguing what they're doing. This is why you don't assume, fellas. I just assumed that Rex Van Wy would start in the middle. And that's not what they're doing. They're going to move Des Purnell over there to the middle. He's going to make all of the calls, which he's certainly capable of doing. And they're going to give Asa Newsome a shot at the Will linebacker position. And I'm excited for him. When he's healthy, and he hasn't been very, very often in his time here, but I really hope he can be now, especially in these final three games, to see, you know, what he could potentially be for 2026.
Yeah, they, you know what they say about assuming.
Yeah, you can't do it.
And so let's not just let's hit the elephant in the room. You know, we see Dylan Edwards leaving. You just brought up Austin Romain, Avery Johnson, and who's had a nice year, to be perfectly honest. With everything else that's gone on, I think he's developed as a thrower for sure. But how do you, and how does the program prevent fans from assuming that something could also happen there for next year?
Sure. I think that's always going to be out there when you have a young man with his skill set, and put him in the climate that is college football today. You would be crazy to not think that, you know, there are people reaching out. And I think that's happening everywhere in both of the sports that I cover on a daily basis, with both football and men's basketball. It's just the truth. With that said, I would like to think that Avery has really developed as this season has gone on. Even I think he likes it here. I don't necessarily think he's looking around. But again, when money's on the table, you know, that can change things. So yeah, do you worry about it? Heck yeah, you do, 100%.
Well, what do you worry about for Saturday? Because this is a K-State team, like we mentioned, Wyatt, that's got to find a way to win two of their last three to get to a bowl game, and they've got a big opportunity against the team in Oklahoma State this weekend that is really, really struggling the last year or two. But at the same time, Stillwater's kind of been a house of horrors the last few trips down there. So how does K-State move past some of the off-the-field drama that we've seen this week and focus on the product between the lines?
Well, let's go back to the start, because, you know, some people are probably driving to work listening and going, what's he talking about? They're 1-8, right? But the reality of it is, let's set it into its proper perspective this way. K-State has only won in Stillwater 9 times ever. Think about that for a second. Ever. It is a difficult place to play. They have nothing to lose. They have an extra week to let it all hang out. The last time we did something like this, do you remember all the trick stuff that Mike Gundy did? You better look back and think about that game, dude. I'm just telling you.
They're 2 games short of a bowl. They're 2 games short of a bowl right now with 3 games to play.
Well, and the situation here is I don't think you can go – if you're K-State, you can't go into this game thinking we're just going to show up. That's not the way it works. Coach at his presser yesterday talked about Zane Flores, and I'll be blunt and tell you that I didn't realize that K-State I knew that he had been here. I didn't necessarily know, you know, how serious they were in really trying to get him here. Unfortunately for Zane, he was in the same class as a guy by the name of Avery Johnson, so he ends up in Stillwater. But he when he's healthy, he's been a good player. I said in a couple of interviews yesterday that I don't know in all the years that I've done this that I've prepared for a game where I've seen a team ranked dead last in so many categories, both offensively and defensively, as Oklahoma State is. Guys, they're really struggling offensively and defensively. Defensively, they're giving up almost 40 points a game. They're scoring about 15 points a game. There's no reason to think that they're going to win this game. And yet you better be prepared and take care of business and put a lot of doubt in their mind early. To me, it's a pretty simple thing. Go beat them at the line of scrimmage. But I learned a long time ago, thinking you're going to win there under any circumstances, you want to think you're going to win. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But it is hard to win there. They're right on top of you. If they're there, that's another factor. How many people will actually be there on Saturday morning at 11 a.m.? I don't know that. But I just know 9 times ever is not very many. And this is a big game for K-State from my perspective.
It certainly is. And I did want to kind of go back to something, Wyatt, with this weekend and with Avery. You know, I was doing some looking because you hear some chatter, you know, Avery gets mixed reviews about his performance, and I think he's done more than what's been asked of him over the last couple of seasons as a starter, but he's quietly 2 touchdown passes away from tying Will Howard for the K-State all-time record of passing touchdowns. I mean, for a kid to face the criticisms that Avery has faced over the last couple of years, and now the off the field drama of losing a primary weapon in the backfield, how does he continue to his best friends for right here in Wichita? Good point. I mean, how does he push past that and try to lead K-State with a great performance again, not just to set a record, but to again get a huge road win that's been hard to come by in Oklahoma?
Well, you bring up, I think, a pretty interesting topic, because let's put Avery and what he's done into perspective. You mentioned he's just a couple away from Will Howard. He's done that in 30 games. Will Howard played closer to 45. That says a lot. I think he has been really productive. Did he play his best game a couple of weeks ago against Tech? No. But I think under the duress which he was operating all day, I thought he did a pretty good job. They were moving him all over the place. He was scrambling around trying to save his neck, trying to make plays. I thought he did a pretty good job, both running and throwing. He's been a different guy since that Arizona game on Friday night, fellas. We've talked about this, right? I mean, we just have. I like the way he continues to grow as a player, as a leader of the team. You can see it being around it every day. And I just think he's one of the best talents in the league at his position. And I'll continue to think that. And I, for the most part, we've had frustration with this season on a lot of levels. But in a season where there have been inconsistencies in a ton of places, I don't think that's the case with Avery Johnson. I don't.
It's not. That's what makes the season to me as frustrating as anything.
Yes, 100%.
It's been this frustrating even as he's played very good football. Let's talk hoops, Wyatt. K-State off to the start you needed them to get off to. They look good. I think as we break apart the games against 2 pretty bad teams and they get ready to play some probably much better teams, at least better teams, what are we pulling out of it? Haggerty is exactly what they thought they were getting. A guy who can score, get to the free throw line. That's 2 games we've seen them shoot the 3 well. What are your early takeaways from this team as they haven't really played anybody yet?
Yeah, I think you have to take that into consideration, but I do think that people are starting to recognize that they have a pretty good grouping of guards that can shoot the ball. I mean, they've knocked down 14 threes in their first 2 regular season games. They do score a lot of points. I think they have a lot of pieces. I think, if I'm being honest, I think they've done a pretty good job, but I think they're just barely even scratching the surface of what they could be down the road. That, to me, is the most exciting thing. Do they have flaws? Yes. I'm concerned about the center position. I'm concerned about defense and rebounding like everybody else. But I do think, maybe you'll agree with this, maybe you won't. I think you can coach and teach defense. Putting the ball in the basket like PJ does, you either have that skill set or you don't. And I think that's true with Abdi. I think that's true with Nate. I'm anxious to, with the 2 foreign kids that are capable of scoring, I think they're learning too. They're not perfect by any stretch, but they both, I think, have a lot of upside. So there's a lot of things to like. Are there a couple of 2 or 3 things to be concerned about? Sure. But one thing that happened the other night that I loved to see, and I've talked about this kid a lot, but David Castillo can really help in a backup point guard role position because of his abilities. And now that the fact that he's shooting it a little bit better and has confidence that, frankly, he didn't have a year ago, that's a big thing too.
Well, Jacob said K-State hasn't played anybody, but need I remind folks who scored the most against K-State in the last three games? It's the Newman Jets. I got to put my my jacket
Newman
up Jets there.
Shot the ball pretty well this, that night, buddy.
But
no
hey,
about it.
I'm just saying. But speaking of that, that step up in competition, Cal is no walkover win. You know, they haven't had a ton of success basketball wise the last several seasons, but they're going to be quite the challenge on Thursday night, and they play a little up tempo as well. So, you know, it could be a bit of a track meet coming up in a few days.
It's going to be kind of interesting for me personally to watch this one, because the leading scorer for Cal is a young man by the name of Day-Day Ames, who was here a couple of years ago.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Yeah. He had 24 last night against Fullerton. Leading scorer through their first three games at 21.7 per game, shooting it really, really well. Last night, as an example, he was 7 of 14 and made 6 of 7 threes. Quiet kid, but a good kid. Hated to see him go, but that's true with so many now, right? I mean, it's just kind of what it is. And then we'll see another former K-Stater when we see Mississippi State here down the road in Kansas City in game one of that tournament. Achora is there for the Bulldogs. So it shows you what we were talking about before. Lots of movement, so many teams. I was watching the replay of Tulsa, who we play Monday night this morning at home, getting a little exercise on the bike in. And I'm telling you now, they're a pretty good team. That's the reason I bring it up is because – you have Cal, and then Tulsa, and then Mississippi State, and then either Nebraska or
New Mexico.
Then you're getting into the Indianas and the and the Creightons and what have you. It's a pretty good schedule, fellas.
Comparatively to other years, yeah. I think it's a great schedule. I love it. I love that it looks this way.
So we're going to know a lot more, right, here in the next couple of weeks or so on – are we overly optimistic now? Are we on track with this? Can they get better and improve? And I think it's all on the table, frankly.
Of course we're overly optimistic. We played 1 week. This is the perfect time to be overly optimistic. Bike riding before this morning hit, Wyatt, geez, like, get some sleep.
Well, sleep is something that this time of year is a little overrated, probably.
Yeah.
Next week's going to be – try this one out. We've got the game this weekend with OSU.
Okay.
Turn around and we play basketball Monday night, have a coach's show Wednesday night, Thursday and Friday night in Kansas City of next week, and then we fly to Salt Lake Saturday morning, do the game, and then fly back with the team. That's the plan. Now, again, flying commercial these days is not really very smart. That's my little dig at the – whatever.
Luck.
Anyway – and if the weather's bad, then we'll have somebody fill in for us Friday night, and we'll go with the team Friday to Salt Lake and see how it goes with the Utes. So lots on the table in the crossover season. You guys know that.
Going to need some Prairie Fire coffee, that's for sure.
Yeah, Prairie Fire coffee. Thanks to Prairie Fire for keeping us fueled up here. Wyatt, 7 o'clock Thursday is the basketball game. You mentioned the coaches show. That'll be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. You'll hear both right here on KFH. We are looking forward to both. We appreciate it. And in the middle of all your travels, we'll talk to you again next week.
I'm looking forward to that. Nice to see you guys.
Jacob Albrock here alongside Jackson Schneider in for TJ today. Jackson, we were joking. I don't know why I thought you were a K-State guy. You're a KU guy.
So I'm going to divide and people are going to hate me right away. So I am from Lawrence originally. But I was born in Manhattan. Both my parents went to K-State, so I was raised a huge K-State fan in Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Started out my college in Salina at Kansas Wesleyan. Then I transferred, and KU took more transfer credits, so I just went home. So I'm a KU grad, and I got to enjoy all the fun that is Lawrence and covering KU basketball and the David Beatty era of KU football. But now since I've graduated, I've kind of fallen back on my K-State fandom more than anything. I'm right down the middle in most cases. And I'm the worst type of person in that. And I hate myself because of it, because I'm always the pick one. You got to have one favorite team kind of guy. But here I am, and with a foot on both sides of the fence.
Well, Listen, I am sure, and maybe not quite as often as we're told that we're fans of one or the other. I don't have a dog in any of the fights. I want KU and K-State and Wichita State to all be awesome. It's the good thing about, you know, kind of being an outsider, not anymore. I've been here for more than a decade. People they ask me that all the time, and I'm like, guys, like for real, I want them all to be good. It makes life better and easier and more fun, and you know, they only play each other once or twice a year, so it's not that big a deal. Or K-State, I don't follow the I'm too old for the rumor mill, quite frankly, with college sports. I don't have the energy for it. It's out of control sometimes. But the Dylan Edwards thing had been pegged for a long time by people that this could be a red shirt and a transfer situation. To me, that seemed premature. Maybe this writing has been on the wall. Maybe it hasn't, and it just came to fruition. But either way, that loss looms. And that loss is frustrating and I know annoying for fans, but it's not the thing I think that is the real thing on people's minds, which is the future of Avery and what's Avery going to do. That is one of his best friends leaving. We know Colin Klein, if he wants it, is going to be a head coach somewhere next year. Like this part of it is why they've got to fix somehow the ability to leave as often. And not that this would apply to Avery anyway, but this kind of uncertainty does take away from what's right in front of you. Like, there's been more talk about Dylan Edwards' future. The guy played a snap this year, basically. And there's been more talk about him with K-State than probably anything else. And that's not good. Like, that's not a good thing. But that's what everyone's thinking about right now in Manhattan.
Well, I'll take it a step further. I mean, in this era of college sports and college football specifically, if you have a year for any team that struggles, as soon as that last regular season game is played, it's almost a mass exodus. And if you have an impact guy like Dylan Edwards already electing to sit out the rest of the year and transfer, I think fans might be worried about the opening of the floodgates and who else may be to leave, not just an Avery Johnson, but I mean, you could be talking about literally anyone on that roster that may or may not be back in Manhattan, especially with how things have gone from a win-loss standpoint for Kansas State. There's so much uncertainty, and you still have to find a way to win two out of your next three games if you're Kansas State and keep the guys in-house focused on doing that and getting to the bowl game and trying to at least make something out of this season that's fallen flat and short of really everyone's expectations. I think there's, I mean, a lot of reasonable reason to be skeptical about what's to come with Kansas State.
Yeah, well, and it's probably, look, the bowl games, the bowl system, it still means something to fans, but that challenge has existed for a while, that teams don't play, don't get ready for it, don't do all these things. So that part of it, like, okay, like the question is, are you going to be able to keep Avery? And look at there. You can either be scared of it. You can either roll over and let it, like, or you can do what Texas Tech did and go figure out a way to use it to your advantage, to figure out a way to do what TCU did a few years ago when it played the national championship game, and you can go capitalize on it the same way. Nobody's saying that you can't. So I just don't want it to take away from the final three games of the regular season for K-State. You know, there are seniors on this team. There are a lot of things that matter for this team. There are all kinds of things. I think Avery Johnson wants to continue to play well and develop as a quarterback. And so I just don't want it to all take away, but it's all we're going to talk and think about, whether it's, you know, publicly here or in the back of our heads. Is like, it's November 11th. And all that's been on our minds for a long time now is, why do you think Avery Johnson's going to be back next year? What's going to happen with Avery next year? Like, that's all we can think about. That's all we talk about. Or Dylan Edwards. Dylan Edwards going to transfer out of the program. Like, that's it. That's all we think about.
And rightfully so. I would say, though, for K-State fans, I mean, even if, and it's a very large if, Avery Johnson decides to go elsewhere next season, you can bet your you know, big paycheck that he's going to be doing everything he can to get K-State two or three more wins the rest of this regular season, because it's an audition. And for any player on the rest of the K-State roster the rest of this way, it's an audition. They want to put good tape out there. They want to win. They want to be successful. If they're going to try and go elsewhere, or if they want to prove their spot to step into a bigger role next year in place of someone that's going to leave, everyone in that locker room is going to have something to prove over the next 3 weeks or so and try to earn their spot, be that in the locker room in Manhattan or in a locker room somewhere else.
They've got two wins to get to a bowl. We talked about this with Kansas last week. That one slipped through their fingers. They didn't get it done in the game that you felt like they had the best chance to get it done. Now they need another win on a tougher schedule. The good news for K-State is, and I know why I didn't want to look past Oklahoma State, but you got to look past Oklahoma State. I mean, it's Oklahoma State. They've been awful this year. And then you still have Colorado, who's, I think, playing a little better, probably in a trip to Utah. So they need two of those. It's not a shoe-in for sure. But I'm so bummed that our college football season has come down to KU and K-State desperately trying to get to six wins to go to a bowl game. That's a kick in the pants. It's such a bummer.
It really stinks. And, you know, for Kansas, I would say it's worse. And that's crazy to think about considering the expectations put on K-State at the beginning of this year. Like, they expected to be in the Big 12 title conversation and potentially the college football playoff conversation, and have fallen well short of that this season. But for Kansas, it was about, you know, proving that they were moving in the right direction and continuing to build under Lance Leipold. I mean, they last year went 5-7, but they had three straight wins over ranked opponents and had a chance at a bowl game going into their last week of the season and fell short there. I mean, then you come into this year and it's almost the same exact story as losing close games in games where you either are right in it or had a lead in the fourth quarter and probably should have won. And it was more of the same in Tucson on Saturday when Kansas, for some reason, chose to kick a field goal inside of the 20 that would have made a one-score game. And if you look at the final score, Arizona put up 24 points. It wouldn't have made a difference because they couldn't get off the field to end the game. It's just more of the same where Kansas is, in their own way, preventing their success and preventing their chances at a bowl game. And I honestly think, Jacob, it's quite the uphill battle to get there because KU's got a significantly tougher end of their season than Kansas State does.
They do. They're going to have to upset somebody. K-State just has to win the games they're favored in order to get there. And that's where we are right now with college football. So we'll find out. I think at this point, it's just like, I'm going to root for the Big 12. Like, I hope the Big 12 has as many representatives in the playoff that it can get, and I hope it finds a lot of success. That's where it is for me. It's Saturdays are not quite as exciting as I thought they'd be in mid-November.
It's kind of sad, isn't it? Because I was the eternal optimist because, again, K-State had such big expectations, but I was of the belief that Kansas last year at 5-7 was an anomaly. And, you know, football's a weird game. The ball bounces a different way once or twice. And you're talking about KU being like 8-4 or 9-3 last season rather than 5-7. So I just expected that they would be in a bowl game as a foregone conclusion. And here we are now 3 weeks to go. And I'm not thinking they're going to get there unless they prove me wrong in one of the couple of games they have left. I mean, winning against Iowa State's been something Lance Leipold's been able to do, but I mean, it's not easy to win in Ames, and it's certainly not easy to beat Utah. I mean, where do the two wins come from if you're Kansas with three games to go?
Yeah, I the future of both programs is also interesting because you've got, in one scenario, Leipold has brought K-State out of the ashes. And people wonder about, you know, is this his ceiling, right? As have they reached the peak? And I think it's a fair question to ask. And I don't think it gets asked in the sense of like they should go do something else. I think it's just like what should realistic expectations for KU fans be right now? And I think it's valid because for the first time next year, They're not going to have they're not going to have Jalen Daniels. Jalen Daniels won't be there. So now what? Right? And he struggled at times last year, but he's been mostly really solid this year, and he won't be there. So now what do they do? They've got an interesting and fascinating offseason for very different reasons than K-State. K-State is trying to kind of retain what they've got and try to do it again. They also have tremendously underachieved this year, and you can make a case that they underachieved last year too. So it will be an uncomfortable offseason, I think, for both of these programs as they sort of have to reset a little bit.
And for Kansas, I mean, you talk about who's going to play quarterback next season. I think that's, like, by far the biggest question, because if you're Kansas, are you confident in the kids behind Jalen Daniels? I mean, Cole Ballard did a decent job a couple of seasons ago when Jalen Daniels and Jason Bean were hurt. I mean, he almost beat K-State in Lawrence and was a walk-on, but then you've got Zeke Marshall, who's supposed to be this elite athlete with a ton of speed. Is he able to take the reins, or does Kansas have to go elsewhere and try to lure in another quarterback to move this forward? It's a ton to figure out. We still got a couple weeks left of the regular season.
We do. We still got an hour to go here on Sports Daily. Next hour, we will jump back into the NFL, Monday Night Football a little bit. The Eagles back. They for real? Are the Packers for real? Who is for real? We have it all for you. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of the program. Now is a great time to join. All kinds of great deals and memberships available at Crestview Country Club. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you. We appreciate them. We're coming back for another hour. Don't go away. All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Another hour here. Jacob Albrock, Jackson Snyder in for TJ, Max Power Producing. Max has the hotline at 869-1240. We've got the video streams available for you to chime in, Facebook, YouTube, X. You can also get in touch with us on the Odyssey app. You can leave voice messages there if you're listening to us, even if it's from the future. If you listen to us in podcast form, you can leave those voice messages, and those come in to Max, and he can get his hands on those as well. So that's all available for you. We will talk a little NFL this hour. We'll get you updated on what Andy Reid had to say for the Chiefs yesterday. That is in store. A couple giveaways to get you through. It's all on tap. Brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Yumkin Pumpkin Ale, WBC's most popular seasonal beer, made with actual pumpkin, served with a spiced rim. Yumkin Pumpkin, now available at Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. Jackson, let's get everybody set up for one of those giveaways, because we've got a couple of these here this morning. We'll get you the info first on Journey. You can win some Journey tickets. They are coming April 4th, so you have a little time. You can score a pair of tickets to see Journey at Interest Bank Arena. Just text the keyword Journey to the number 20357. You can enter once a day between now and November 21st. The winner will get picked on the 24th. You've got standard message and data rates applying to that giveaway. So good luck there, everybody. Did you see, Jackson? I saw Matt Rife is coming. I think Nate Bargatze is coming. Are you a comedy guy?
I've been to a few comedy shows. I wouldn't call myself a huge comedy guy, but I can appreciate it, and I love a good laugh, so I would definitely be interested in that. But I haven't been to a comedy show since I was in, like, high school. I saw Jeff Dunham back when he had his
puppet guy.
He had his moment of fame and came through, so went and saw him one time. But that's really the only comedy show I think I've ever seen in the, like, the traditional, like, stand-up sense. But Matt Rife, I saw that, and I know Nate Bargatze's been really big lately. I think he was on College Game Day a couple of weeks ago, so that's pretty sweet.
He's funny. There's a guy I love that I see on social media named Gabriel Rutledge going out to the Cotillion. I don't think that's happened yet, but that's soon. We're on a little heater with comedy shows. I'm a big comedian. I'm a big comedy. Like, I tell people, and you just – just for your use and information, I could get hit by a bus and you can make fun of me the next day and it's perfectly fine. Like, I love that comedy just kind of lays it all out there for people and puts us all in the same playing field. I grew up on Chappelle and, you know, all of that stuff. So I'm not offended. So I'm pretty excited. I don't know if I'll make it to these. I love comedy shows. I love more intimate comedy shows. I've actually never been to, like, an arena comedy show. But anytime I have a chance to get to like a comedy club, I'm all about it. I love it. I think it's incredible. So I'm excited that all these acts are coming through here. I've thought that Wichita needed a little more of that. We have all these great venues, and I think we're starting to see it now. I think some of these acts are coming through.
I would love that. And I've only been to a comedy club one time, and that was because of an acquaintance, I guess, or I guess you could call him a friend. When I was in college, decided on a whim that he was going to do an open mic comedy night. And so myself and about 10 of our friends all decided we were going to crash that party and see if he could hack it as a comedian on the stage. And boy, that went about as poorly as you can imagine. We've never let him hear the end of it since.
That's bold.
Yeah.
That's a bold move. Wow. We all think about that when we're out there. We're like, I could do that. And that never goes well. You hear about it, but I've never seen anybody try to do it.
See, for your guys' Friday picks, whoever comes in last, you ought to make them do that. Open mic comedy.
Go do an open mic night. That's not a bad idea. Although our comedy club, what was it called? The Loony Bin isn't open anymore. I went in there once or twice and I had a great time. When I went, but I like it. It's good. But Wichita's bringing in some acts. It's been good. That game last night, a comedy as the Eagles take down the Packers 10-7, a comedy to try to figure out a way to watch the games as they've been coming down. It makes wonder, and we'll get into this on the other side in the longer segment. Like, are the Eagles and or the Packers, like, are they for real? Who is for real? We saw Buffalo lose. We talked about some of this. And what does it mean for the Chiefs? I still, like, what's so funny about the NFL this season is, you know, in most years recently, we've seen there's a handful of teams when you start the year. And I have this conversation from time to time, like in the summertime shows, like if I go on the Infinity Sports Network and you get to talk to fans all over the country and it's super fun. It's always like I always love the question of like how many teams do we really think could win the Super Bowl? Most years, it's usually 3 or 4, maybe 5. This year feels like more than that. But is it like the teams that we would generally put in that grouping? Right. They all appear to be flawed in some way. So is it? And we talked about this yesterday. I would still take Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City against the field. And those would have been the teams at the beginning of the year that, you know, like I do think that's it. But man, the Rams, like it just seems more even. And it seems strange. And I guess maybe it's reassuring. I don't know how you feel. I've said that I think the Chiefs are the best team in football for probably about the last month, and I know they lost to Buffalo, but they're the odds on favorite by a pretty decent margin at 6-1 right now, and that actually surprises me.
It surprises me too on the surface level, but then you have to kind of think about like the Chiefs dynasty, right? Like we've seen the Chiefs lose at home on Christmas to the Raiders and then rip off a bunch of wins and go on the road and end up winning a Super Bowl. So clearly Vegas is not going to count Kansas City out until they are dead on the floor. But my thing with the NFL right now is you're right. Like you could probably toss out 8 or 9 different teams and tell me they could win the Super Bowl. And I would at least entertain that argument, which is probably double what we'd normally see. But the crazy part is if you look at the standings, and especially in the AFC right now, I mean, the top three teams, all at 8-2, the Colts, the Broncos, and the Patriots, I'm not scared of any of those teams if I'm the Chiefs.
None of them are winning a Super Bowl.
Like, that's what I mean.
No offense,
Max. You could make the argument, and I would hear it out. But if I had to pick a team to win the Super Bowl, I wouldn't pick any of those teams because they all have obvious flaws as well. And this kind of brings me to a conversation I had with a friend of mine back when the Colts made their trade for Sauce Gardner, because they didn't understand why the Colts were tossing away 2 first round picks for a corner. And I was like, this NFL is as open as it's really been in as long as I can remember. And if you're the Colts at the top of the mountain right now, you have to do everything you can to at least fortify that and give yourself the best chance to be successful. And, I mean, Sauce Gardner may or may not be the difference in the Colts winning the Super Bowl, and I certainly don't think they're going to. But can you blame a team that's sitting at 8-2 right now doing everything they can just to try and get there when the best teams, so to speak, like the Chiefs and Bills, are 2-3 games back of them already with still 7 or 8 to go?
The Colts are interesting because of the three that you mentioned at the top of the AFC, I actually think they have the most legs. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. That makes a defense that was already pretty good better. It's really with them, I think we have to, if you're a believer in the Colts, you have to overcome a Daniel Jones bias, right? Yep. That we've seen for a long time, to be fair. Like, you got to overcome that before you can buy into Indianapolis. But I'm also a believer in point differential in this league. It's typically a good indicator of how good teams really are. And Indianapolis has the best point differential in football, followed by Seattle. And then you get into, you know, the range of where Kansas City's been. And Kansas City, of course, we know is misleading because their offense took a long time to get fully healthy. But Indianapolis has been really good all year. The one thing that you take away from them to a degree, and it's the same issue that I've got with Denver, they just flat have not played a difficult schedule at all. So in the NFL, we know this, right? The NFL, if you didn't have a good year the year prior, you're getting a soft schedule the next year. And like Denver, Indianapolis right now, their wins are not that impressive. Denver, whatever you want to take from that game, which they should have lost, but it's Miami, Tennessee, the Raiders, Tennessee again. They've lost to Pittsburgh. They lost to the Rams, a couple of road games. That was a nice win against Atlanta, I think, overseas. So down the stretch, though, they get to go to Kansas City. They have to play Houston when we assume C.J. Stroud's back. They've got road games at Jacksonville, at Seattle, San Francisco. Like, their schedule gets a whole lot tougher after the bye week, and we'll learn about them, right? Then they can really get tested a little bit, because the reality is they've played a soft schedule right now. Where do they sit? Where do these teams in the NFC sit, including the two we saw last night in the yawn fest that was Monday Night Football? Plus an update on what the Chiefs are saying on a Monday. It's all coming for you here on Sports Daily. Jake Ballbrock, Jackson Schneider coming right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here. The Odyssey Holiday Hookup now through Friday, November 21st at 11:30. Odyssey taking care of the food and fun this Thanksgiving. Win a full holiday feast and Thunder tickets for the whole family. Smoked turkey, ham, all the sides from Hog Wild Pit Barbecue. $200 in value, 10 tickets to Wichita Thunder's Star Wars night on November 29th. You can enter by texting thanks to the number 20357. Message and data rates apply. Welcome back in, everybody. It's Jacob Albrock, Jackson Schneider in for TJ, having some fun on this Tuesday. All right, let's continue the conversation here. In the NFL, we saw last night two teams that would like to think they're Super Bowl contenders, and the Packers, now 5-3-1 after their 10-7 loss to the Eagles, now 7-2. We talk about point differential. The Eagles are not very good in that department, yet they're 7-2. It feels like they've struggled a little bit this year, yet they're 7-2. So I would ask you first, Jackson, the defending champs sitting there at 7-2. How real are they? It doesn't it feel like they are struggling? We talked about the Colts and how they haven't beaten anybody. Meanwhile, the Eagles have wins against Dallas, at Kansas City, against the Rams, at Tampa when they were much healthier. They won at Minnesota, and they just won at Green Bay. They are loaded with quality wins, but it doesn't feel like they're as good as they were a year ago.
It doesn't feel that way, but I'm going to tell you, I would be a lot more confident in the Eagles than any of the other teams we talked about before the break. I mean, they just won the Super Bowl, and they did it in dominating fashion. They have one of the best running backs in the NFL. They have several very talented wide receivers, even though they've had to deal with some drama because of that this season. Their hang-up for me is still their quarterback, who was the Super Bowl MVP. I mean, that's the thing, is he's been good enough when it matters. Jalen Hurts has, but I still don't really trust him all that much. But I'm going to tell you right now, I think this is very comparable to the year the Chiefs went back-to-back and won the Super Bowl over the 49ers. They kind of sleptwalked through the regular season at times and then had to go on the road in the playoffs to get back to the Super Bowl. This feels the same way to me, except for the Eagles still keep finding ways to win important games. And it may not be pretty, but Philadelphia fans don't care how pretty it is as long as they've got more points at the end of a ball game like last night. And as gross as it is for us as neutral observers to watch a game like last night, I'm sure they're still just happy to be in the win column once again. And with all their quality wins, they've still got a lot of opportunities for more of those in the next few weeks. I mean, they play the Lions, they play at the Cowboys, they play the Bears, who've had a much better year this season. They get the Bills on the road towards the end of the year as well. And I mean, there's no easy outs for the Eagles because they were the Super Bowl champions and they play a very challenging schedule. So they're going to have to continue to prove it. But I'm going to sit here and tell you, I would not be shocked if the Eagles were back in the Super Bowl come February.
Yeah, I'm not either. And to be fair, you said neutral observers with this one. I can't stand either the Eagles or the Packers. The Eagles maybe. It's just sports hate. I'm a Cowboys fan, so I don't like them. They do have a coach that's very unlikable, but who does things that make us scratch our head, like go for it on what was it, 4th and 6th, when there was absolutely no reason to do that last night. But whatever, they win, and they win for him, and he has been the coach and been highly, highly successful as a coach. They're proving it. And I'm with you on Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is really good at what he does with that team. Is he one of the most gifted quarterbacks in football? I mean, I don't think any of us think that, but it's okay. Like, he gets it done. And that's that. They are in good shape because the division that they play in looks like crap. And it's too far gone now with the improvements Dallas will probably make by bringing in a couple players defensively. Dallas is going to get better, but are they going to? Is Philadelphia going to give up a 4.5 game lead over them? Unlikely. Philadelphia does play a lot of really good games down the stretch. They still have to go to Buffalo. They have to go to the Chargers. They have to go to Dallas. And they play Detroit next week on Sunday Night Football. So they do have it's not a shoe-in, but it's a probability.
Well, let me ask you this, and I know you're a Cowboys fan, so don't mean to upset you here.
Oh, you can make fun. I'm not upset. I knew this was happening
but
this year.
Even like hypothetically, let's say the Eagles lost every game the rest of the season and they go 7-9. Where do the 4 or 5 wins that Dallas would need come from? Because I don't know that they get to 7 wins.
No, I it's unlikely. They're just look, they've got the Raiders. They can beat the Raiders. They can beat the Commanders. They can beat the Giants. But all three of those are road games. The Cowboys will, if nothing else, be an entertaining watch the rest of the way because they're loaded on offense. And they did just probably get quite a bit better defensively. Just by adding Quinnen Williams and a linebacker who at least can tackle somebody, like that's going to make them better. They get overshown back. Of course, they had the tragedy where they lost a player last week or early last week. So they're non-factor. But it points to the fact that the Eagles are unchallenged right now in the division. So it doesn't really matter what they do. They're built to win in any weather conditions. It doesn't really matter if they go on the road in the postseason. So, yeah, look, they are a contender. Of course they're a contender. Are the Packers who everybody, oh, the Packers, they're just, you know, like that. What a great, brilliant move to go bring in Micah Parsons. What a wonderful, smart thing. Because now let me give you a little backstory. I think the Cowboys made a tremendous trade there, just for clarity's sake. But the Packers, oh, you never trade that kind of talent. Of course they'll give up 2 firsts. I've told people this, that Cowboy fans that are like, oh, you know, the defense is terrible. And the answer to me is easy. Micah Parsons, who had 1 tackle in the game last night, no sacks. The answer to me is easy. What would the Cowboys' record be if Micah Parsons was on this team?
Probably exactly the same, right?
Be the exact same. It wouldn't. It would have not changed their record one iota, and they're going to go pay that guy $50 million. So Green Bay goes and pays Micah Parsons $50 million. Do you have $50 million worth of an impact on that game last night? At 1 tackle? No. Now, players like him make the truly good defense is elite, right? They're game wreckers. But you've got to be a part of something to be truly impactful. And he's had a nice year, right? He's had a really nice year, to be fair. They're 5-3-1. They might be in the most difficult division in football. Are the Packers a contender? I would tell you no. They're not a contender. I don't think the Packers are a contender this year to win a Super Bowl.
I don't think they are. I mean, I think they have the pieces, if healthy, to maybe do
maybe.
That. Maybe. But the offense, to me, is where the issues lie. I mean, you can talk about Micah Parsons and not really being a huge factor right now, but the Packers' three losses have all come against teams that they've held to 16 points or fewer. So the defense hasn't really been the problem in their losses. It's been the offense. And Jordan Love did nothing last night to inspire any form of confidence in me. I mean, the only offensive success that happened for the Packers last night was from Josh Jacobs and just using him as a battering ram in the fourth quarter and pushing him across the goal line. There was nothing else that the offense could do, and the beat-up wide receivers that the Packers have right now couldn't catch a ball to save their life anyway, because on the few great throws that Jordan Love made, it hit him right in the hands or right in the chest, and they'd end up as drops, and you're not doing yourself any favors. So the Packers have issues offensively that need to be addressed now after they addressed the defense by bringing in Micah Parsons, right? It's like the old cartoon where you got a leak in the wall and you put your finger in it to stop the leak, and so it leaks out of a different hole somewhere else. That's the issue that the Packers are dealing with right now, and until they find themselves some duct tape or something, they're not going to really be a contender.
They're not good enough. That trade they made, that's a trade – you know, like Buffalo needs to make, or Baltimore needs to make, or a team that you do feel like is going to go win a Super Bowl. But who knows? It's a long season. We're just halfway through, more or less. There's a long way to go. Let's talk Chiefs. We all think the Chiefs are Super Bowl contenders. How could they not be? They are every year. That Patrick Mahomes has been the quarterback. Yesterday, Andy Reid doesn't give us a lot. And he never does in his Monday availabilities. I was hoping to get just a little bit more clarity on Josh Simmons and whether he's I think, and I still think he's going to start and play Sunday. Andy Reid would not commit to that. And it was and the interesting part is, like, when asked about Juwan Taylor's injury, he made that seem like, yeah, he's fine. He'll be there. Excuse me. He didn't come out and say that about Simmons. And he could have. It's obviously a different situation. Simmons has been gone for a while, but he came back at the beginning of the bye week. He will have had two full weeks to get whatever back into shape. I mean, that's almost a preseason, right? At this point, why wouldn't he be available? Why wouldn't he start at left tackle? I guess becomes my question.
So here's where I wonder, because Where does the discipline come in, right? Because if you were gone from work for almost a month with zero warning, zero, like, information given, you just, like, didn't show up for 4 weeks, there would be some sort of repercussion in the workplace,
maybe.
I
is
would
work
assume, right?
5-4 clinging to a playoff hope?
That's true, but that's where I wonder. For Andy Reid and Brett Veach, do they do the old high school, like, hey, you missed practice, so you can't start on Friday night, but you'll play after
you'll come in on
a drive or two. Yeah, like you missed the first half of the first quarter or whatever, the first drive of the game, and then coach decides, okay, we really need that offensive line help here trying to make our playoff push. And so I wonder if we see something like that where it's kind of a slap on the wrist, like, hey, don't do that again. And we're going to play you, but we're going to play you off the bench, or I don't know.
And maybe if it was a different circumstance, but this was, you know, by all accounts, him handling a very delicate and sensitive family situation. And we've got to throw the disclaimer out because people are so sensitive. Like, we can talk about Josh Simmons, the football player, and compartmentalize and walk and chew gum at the same time. I am very hopeful that whatever the reason is in his family that he needed to leave got solved. And that's obviously more important. He's also a football player, and we're here to talk about football. So I think had the circumstances been a little different, maybe that makes some sense. But then at the same time, Andy Reid talks about how much they and his teammates care about him as a person. So it doesn't feel like a spot where discipline, the only reason you could maybe see that is because you're saying, hey, we really appreciate Jalen Moore and the way that he's filled in, and we don't want to just take that job away from him. But the reality is their offensive line got flat dominated against Buffalo. And they're about to go up against the best pass rush in the NFL in Denver. You've got to just put your best guys out there. Every snap that he doesn't play, that somebody else gets beat on, or that you don't play your best player, is a potential snap Mahomes gets hit, which is not okay.
Well, Rick made a good point here in on the comments section on YouTube about not being about discipline, but who did he practice against for 4 weeks? All the other players were off of last week because of the bye, but you know that's a good point. I mean, is he in game shape, or has
But if let's say Simmons missed 3 games because of injury, okay? 3 games because of injury, and he comes back at the beginning of the bye week fully healthy. Are we having this conversation? I mean, what do you need to do? You're either physically in good shape or you're not. And 2 weeks is almost a preseason. Our preseasons are 3 weeks long now. So he came in and started right away in the preseason. We know he can play the position unless he over the time gone just like got out of shape for some reason, which again seems really unlikely. Why would you not play your best guy in that spot in a game you have to win when he directly impacts the thing that your opposition is the strongest at? I think he plays.
Rick said,
and I don't know why they won't just say he plays. Maybe they do want to see him at least one day at practice, which doesn't come until Wednesday, and that's fine. I'm okay with it. Rick saying they bring back players slow from injury, but he's not coming back from injury. He's not hurt. Like physically, he's done. Like nothing happened physically. He's there. Like he's healthy and he's there. So it would tell me that he's out of shape, which is a problem if he's not starting the first snap on Sunday.
We talked about one way of high school thinking of just like the slap on the wrist, sit out a drive kind of suspension. Does Andy Reid try to use the other high school football coach tactic by just playing mental warfare and saying, well, we don't like he
with
may
media,
start, he
sure,
may not.
Absolutely.
Like,
do coaches does that every week?
Like, does that us. Really make a difference for Sean Payton in his preparation? Not knowing whether it's going to be Josh Simmons or not.
Point.
Like, does that little bit of a curveball make any impact at all? I don't know. I certainly wouldn't think so because you'd think they're probably preparing the same regardless. But I can't lie; it would make a difference to know who you're preparing against, to watch a little bit more film maybe if you're that Broncos defense and trying to figure things out. Maybe, just maybe, that's why. But as far as I'm concerned, you might as well just be up front because there hasn't been anything up front about this whole situation in general, and I think that's played into a lot of the speculation. And again, I respect and totally understand the privacy of the family matter, whatever it was for Josh Simmons.
Two different things.
But if people knew exactly what the issue was, maybe there'd be a little bit less question just because you could say, hey, it was this or it was that.
I just want to know if he's in shape. You know, if he's not playing, to me, that means he's not physically ready to play. And Rick's I think Rick's not understanding what I'm saying about the injuries. What I'm saying about the injuries is when the Chiefs need guys, Xavier Worthy came back sooner than he thought we would, than he would. How many times has Patrick Mahomes come back sooner than we thought he would? Trey Smith and Jawan Taylor had injuries this year where they were back in the game. They don't always bring back injured players slowly. That's not true at all. They haven't done that this year. They brought Xavier Worthy. We thought Xavier Worthy might be done for the year. And all of a sudden he was back. So they don't always bring guys back slowly. They may be careful with guys on injury, but he's not injured. Like, there was no physical component to this. So I will be very surprised if he is not starting snap one on Sunday. College basketball tonight, Jackson. KU. You're a KU follower. We all are. This will be a very interesting year for the Jayhawks, I think, especially early in the year. They lose to North Carolina. I hope there's not overreaction to going to Chapel Hill and losing a game that you played well at half. KU is going to have to survive a season. They play tonight against A&M Corpus Christi. They're going to have to survive the growing pains of largely putting everything on the shoulders of a freshman and a sophomore who didn't really do much last year offensively and couldn't stay on the court. That is going to be the KU season. It's going to take a minute.
Well, you said that you hope there's not an overreaction. You know better than that. Come on.
I have talked to KU people. I think there may be an overreaction. I've been here more than a decade now, and it has been the strangest few years for KU, who has come in the last 2 years before this one as the preseason number one, because we knew exactly what they were. Nothing changed. But at the same time, we kind of all knew it probably wasn't good enough. But what are you supposed to do? Now this year, it's completely different. We know what we think the ceiling might be, but we have no idea. So going on the road and losing a true road game at Chapel Hill, like, how are we going to overreact to that?
I think it's more how they lost, right? I mean, like, KU was in control for the entire first half and what was up 8 at halftime going into that. And then you get outscored by 21 in the second half. And while a road loss in the Dean Dome is excusable, certainly, I think it's the fact that you saw 20 minutes of what this team could be and then 20 minutes of the exact opposite of that that leaves a sour taste in fans' mouths. But the fact of it is, it's this team is going to go as far as Darren Peterson can drag sure. them right now. It's about developing the guys around him. I mean, Flory Badunga has been almost a non-factor through two games. And again, there's 28, 29 more to go, so there's plenty of time here. But you need more than just Darren Peterson to get where Kansas fans expect this team to get and where Bill Self is capable of taking this team. But you have to get some of those unprovens to start proving themselves.
Badunga had 23 in the opener. I mean, which was more offense than I ever expected from him. I don't expect him to be an offensive force this year. I expect him to probably average close to a double-double and be a defensive force. That's what I expect of him. But what I don't understand is how is anybody's expectation any different than that? You're right. They are going to go as far as Darren Peterson takes them. Darren Peterson is a true freshman who just played his first road college basketball game, and he played it at North Carolina. So if the expectation that people have isn't for there to be a lot of growing pains before Big 12 play begins, then you have the wrong expectations, in my opinion. Like, you, the expectation right now and the only thing that matters for KU is that Peterson learns how to be a college basketball player, right, and do things like go on the road in hostile environments and still be awesome. And that will take a little bit of time because it just does. And the other thing is, who's going to help him offensively? And it's not going to be Flory Badunga consistently. I don't think if it is, that's a huge positive development for KU. But it's going to have to be two or three of these other guys or a collective effort. But they're also all really young. So I guess my thing is, don't have the wrong expectations for this team before Christmas time, because this is going to happen to them a lot. They're not going to have one or two losses by the time the Big 12 starts. It's not going to happen. That was never going to happen. But would you take the last couple of years where you knew they'd be good and then they kind of fizzle out? Or would you take this upside? KU fans have been begging for this. So you got to let it get there. They're not going to be what the last couple of teams are, which was great November basketball teams because they're so experienced at the sport.
I think that's a great point, because if thinking back to the last couple of years, KU started a season and it never felt like they got better than that. Right. Ever.
That was right? They peaked like, at the beginning of the year.
It was it this year.
It was a good peak.
But the when you get a head start and everyone else catches you right. by January 1st, that's a problem. But I think you're exactly right. It's going to have to come from proving some of these young talents right. I mean, Cole Rosario, there were tons of raves about him and Bryson Tiller and what these guys can become around Darren Peterson and getting El Marco Jackson back. I mean, there's plenty of potential, but it's up to Bill Self to do what he's done many times throughout his career, but not in the last few years, and that's make his roster improve over the course of the season. It's certainly not going to get any easier because I had to refresh myself on the rest of KU's non-conference schedule, and you're talking about playing Duke in Madison Square Garden a week from tonight, and then you're playing a week after that in Las Vegas against Notre Dame and Syracuse and probably one other Quad 1 team, and then you host UConn on December 2nd, and you go to Kansas City and you play Mizzou, and you go to North Carolina State. I mean, this schedule is a gauntlet that Bill Self put together. They're going to have to learn quick, and I'm not going to be surprised if KU has four or five losses.
I've had it at four or five all year, but I don't really care.
Yeah, I think like, that you're fine. You'd like to come out on the winning side of that and build up an incredible resume, well, right? Like, but are learning opportunities.
KU's record in the non-con is going to have zero impact on how good this team's ultimately going to be. This is not, and again, this I guess goes into the expectation. This is not the year where KU needs to sit around the top 15 for an entire, like it's not like it was the last couple of years where every loss is annoying, right? Because this was the preseason number one. They have all this experience. You don't think they should ever lose a game. Boy, that is not the case this year. It's just not. Like they just have to be getting better. They just have to have Darren Peterson to continue to develop and be the star we've already seen him be. I think the chances, if he's healthy, of him being that are almost, I would call, like he's going to be a star. It's now what else can happen with the rest of the roster? We know Badunga's potential. It oozes at us. He is as physically gifted as anyone that's walked through those doors. What about these seniors that have come in? Right. What about Dawson and White and Melvin Council? What about these older players who that's where it's going to have to come? That's where Bill Self's magic is going to have to happen. He's got to acclimate a bunch of new faces to get in there, learn their roles and bring that floor way up because we know the ceiling is high. Right now, it feels like to me that the floor is also super low. So it's all of these other guys, not the young ones. They all got to learn how to play college basketball. You got to get those older guys to raise your floor up. Like, and how do you do that? Well, no matter what happens with Pete, like we're going to be the best defensive team that takes the floor every single time we play. That's what we didn't see in the second half against North Carolina. But that's what has to develop. And that's a Bill Self thing that almost always does. So but it doesn't happen in week one. I think they're going to have four or five losses before the Big 12 starts. And I guess maybe my expectations are different than the masses, but to me, that is very realistic and reasonable and fine. It's not even a big deal.
The good news for KU fans is one of those four or five losses is not going to happen tonight. I think I think they're not going to have much to worry about. No disrespect to Texas A&M Corpus Christi, but I think KU's a 25, 26-point favorite, if memory serves me correctly from what I was looking at this morning.
Corpus Christi's 262 in KenPom.
Yeah, they're going to be down there, and I think KU's going to be flirting with 100 points, and we may be talking about some of these guys that we needed to KU to have step up, putting up double-digit scoring efforts tonight. We're going to see a lot of them play, more than likely, good minutes in the second half of this game. So it's an opportunity to just kind of see what you have there in preparation of all those tough games in the next few weeks. I mean, KU gets Princeton on Saturday, too, for another chance to knock some rust off or shape some things out. But then it really gets difficult with that Duke game following that a week from tonight. So you got to make the most of these kind of cupcake opportunities while you have them.
Yeah, Princeton's not good either. And I'm literally just going off KenPom here. I think here's what I would say. It has not probably been a fun 4 or 5 days at practice for these guys. And that's all going to be by design. That's these coaches are going to run these young dudes through the ringer early and often to try to prepare them to get ready for Big 12 play. Because if they're not prepared by the time they get to the Big 12, I don't care how good Darren Peterson is, it's not going to be enough. The Big 12 is fantastic. It's deep. It's experienced as it always is. It's going to be good. They're going to beat the hell out of you. And if these young guys can't handle that, they're going to have a really hard time. So this is where the magic happens for the coaches, right? Like, get them in there and get them. It wasn't good. You don't like to lose. But in the grand scheme of things, if KU has a really nice year and a tournament run in them, we can probably, honestly, if you got an honest answer from the coaches, look back to the second half of North Carolina as a great learning point for this roster. Like, oh, good, you had an 8-point halftime lead. Look what happens when you aren't razor focused every single second of a basketball game. That team you were leading by 8 just wiped the floor with you in the second half.
Yeah, Bill Self called them
soft.
That's
never happened to Darren Peterson before.
No. But Bill Self, I feel like all of his finest coaching moments have come after he's called a team soft. I mean, he had the Topeka YMCA comment a few years ago. I mean, calling teams soft, he said that after the North Carolina game on Friday. So I would expect a much more focused, sharp KU team tonight. And maybe I'll be watching Dancing with the Stars by halftime.
For fans, they are soft right now. Of course they are. They haven't played meaningful college basketball yet. They're going to be soft for a little bit. It's the coach's job now to harden them up a little bit. It's ESPN Plus. At least we can watch it if you have the ESPN YouTube TV issues that we're all facing at the moment. I'll have fifth grade girls basketball practice, but I'll be able to watch probably the first half before I have to go try to harden up the girls and keep them from getting soft on
me. No Dancing with the Stars. I had to come talk about that. I know you're a Dancing with the Stars hater, but big one tonight for the fandies out there. You're a comedian fan, Andy Richter.
It's not just that I'm a Dancing with the Stars hater. I'm not a Dancing with the Stars hater. I am stunned that anybody enjoys the show.
I just enjoy the joke of it. Andy Richter is a terrible dancer, but he's a funny comedian, and he's one of the finalists right now.
I'd much
gotta vote
rather
for him.
Watch him do comedy than dance. There are shows I have less interest in, but not many. Not many.
That's fair.
No special programming tonight on KFH as we wrap things up here on a Tuesday. All Infinity Sports Network, including Rich Eisen following us, then, of course, Jim Rome. Jackson, nice debut. Hope you enjoyed it.
I did. I did enjoy it. You know, I'm not typically a morning person these days. I'm up between 2 and 4 at some point with the little guy, but the coffee from Prairie Fire helped me wake up and hopefully do TJ proud. I know he was happy with the Dancing with the Stars talk earlier.
Yeah, I'm so happy that we could get that in. Listen, I'm not a morning guy either, but we're up early with everybody here, loving every second of it. We will be back tomorrow. TJ will be back in. You'll hear Jackson off and on as TJ and I have Bill and other things going on. So glad to have Jackson in the fold. Thanks to Wyatt Thompson for being on the show. Thanks to Max for keeping things in line for us today. We're coming back tomorrow. We have Shreyas Lotta in. Speaking of KU, we'll talk and get the latest on that A&M Corpus Christi game with him. We'll see everybody on Wednesday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
one-day-only Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.